Say a dad is a son's first hero and a daughter's first love. Good morning, church. It is good to be with you. Good to be home. And much has changed over 10 years. Those 6th, 7th, and 8th graders have grown up, and now they have their own kids. Pretty amazing. But one thing that has not changed, for which I am grateful, is the love and affection that I have in my heart for you and that I feel here being with you this morning. This is a fantastic church. A blessing to grow up in, to receive training and instruction from the Lord in this place. And I've been a recipient of that. And so I say thank you to the elders, to Ronnie, to all the leaders, and all the men and women over the years that have invested in so many people just like me, sharing the love of Christ. Well, it is Father's Day. And we want to say thank you to all the dads and all the fathers who are here today. You know, when you're a little kid and you're 2 feet tall, dad is like a giant. He's like a Superman. He can lift strong, heavy things like kitchen tables. And he's an amazing guy. And as you grow up, almost literally, dad kind of begins to shrink. But you grow taller. It's like that one guy that once said, you know, when you're a kid, you think your dad is Superman. And then you grow up and you realize that he's just a regular guy who wears a cape. Well, to all the regular guys who are dads, we say happy Father's Day to you. And we want to thank you because what you have done as engaging and accepting your role as a father is you have put yourself in partnership with God in his mission in seeking godly offspring. And we can't really say thank you enough. We could give you a cape, but you probably wouldn't wear it. Well, maybe you'd wear that as much as you'd wear all the ties you got over the years. I don't know. One of my favorite images of a gift for Father's Day is that of a little girl who knows exactly what to get her father for Father's Day. And so she scrapes together her coins and her bills, and she goes to the store with her mother to buy a rectangular gift that's a bit flimsy. She wraps it herself and presents it to her father on Father's Day. And he opens it up to find he is the proud recipient of a brand new kitchen towel. He could dry the dishes with it. And he looks at his daughter and says, "Thank you. I know exactly what to do with this." And she wraps her arms around his neck and says, "Dad, your old one was just so worn out. I knew you would want a new one." Well, I don't know how you're going to say thanks this Father's Day. It may be, it probably won't be a cape or a tie or a kitchen towel. Maybe all three of those, I don't know. But however it is, if you have the opportunity to say thank you, please do so. And know that all fathers are in our prayers this morning. And this message is an especial encouragement to remind you as a dad that your role as father is vitally important to Christ's mission. Did you know that God is seeking something? God is on a mission, and he is seeking godly offspring. That is a truth that is articulated throughout Scripture, and it is mentioned in a rather obscure, and let me warn you, a pretty uncomfortable passage found in Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And if you will, join me in this text. It'll be one of our primary passages this morning. But let me set the stage first. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. He was a prophet that spoke to God's people. In the days when Malachi was prophesying or speaking to God's people, the people of God were a bit discouraged. There was a cloud of disillusionment that began to take root in lots of areas in their lives. The harvests were not abundant enough. Things were scarce. Their spiritual leaders were serving themselves and couldn't be trusted. Worship, the things related to God, had become just a burden. And so it wasn't a happy time in Israel's history. And they wanted to know why. They came to God asking questions. And what we're going to read this morning is one of the questions God's people is asking and God's answer. So the text, beginning in Malachi chapter 2, verse 13, here's the question. "And this is a second thing you do. You cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards your offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, well, why does he not? In other words, these were God's people who identified themselves as his children. They knew God's name, Yahweh. They had his words, his book. These were people that were coming to worship. They were coming to the altar. They were bringing with them some kind of offering, though it probably wasn't the best. But they were bringing something with them, and with that, they were bringing tears. From all appearances, it would look like these were sincere worshipers of God, but they knew something wasn't right between them and God. They weren't seeing in their own lives the fruitfulness they expected and knew God had promised, and they wanted to know why. And here's where the text, the passage, God's response becomes rather uncomfortable. Why is God not receiving their offering? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless. Though she is your companion and your wife by covenant, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? And there's the question, what was God after? They're in the union between that man and that woman, and they're coming together in covenant. God was there. He was the witness of that covenant creation. He poured out a Spirit, a portion of his Spirit in that union because he was seeking something. God wants something. He's after something. What was it? Well, the answer, as the text continues, he was seeking godly offspring. God is on a mission, and he has placed fathers in their children's lives for the purpose of continuing his mission of seeking godly offspring. And so in the Christian community, fathers stumble into maybe an understanding, one they didn't maybe sign up for, that from God's perspective, he has placed you as a dad right in the middle of the bloodstream of his mission to give life to all people through all generations. To say it another way, in the Christian community, our understanding of father is that a father is a missionary in his own home. You know, some missionaries are commissioned by prayer and the laying on of hands. Others travel to the hearts of inner cities or to the ends of the earth or to Honduras, wherever God sends you. But there are some missionaries that are commissioned when a child is born. And we call those missionaries fathers. And they travel no farther than their dining room tables, their living room couches, or their back porch grills. And it's there in that place that they are picking up the mantle of Christ's mission. This is no different, by the way, than Paul's exhortation to the church in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, when he encourages fathers to bring up their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. To pick up the mantle of somebody else's mission. Have you heard that phrase before? It's been around a while. It doesn't mean that you're supposed to go home and try to pick up that thing around your fireplace. You're not supposed to go home and try to pick up your mantle. That would be quite heavy, I imagine, if you have one of those. We're talking about more a garment. In fact, I have a picture. Well, this is the mantle. This is an antique mantle. This is it's a picture of a garment, a cloak. It was a piece of clothing that would hang around somebody's neck. It didn't have sleeves, typically. It was called, back in the Middle Ages, a mantle. And what it signified is that if you picked up somebody else's mantle, somebody else's cloak, you were carrying on the mission that they began. This phrase finds its roots in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. In the story, some of you might recall Elijah, who was on a mission for God, but God called him home, and he went to be with God and to share the presence of God. And when he left, he left behind his cloak or his mantle. And his apprentice or his disciple, Elisha, picked up Elijah's mantle, his cloak. And it symbolized and empowered Elisha to continue the mission Elijah began. And not so different a way, when Christ ascended into the heaven to be with his Father, he left behind his mantle, his cloak. He left it for all those who would be blessed to become a father. And he has invited all fathers to pick up his mantle and carry on his mission. His mission in seeking godly offspring. I brought with me today what may be the closest thing I have to a fatherhood mantle. I received this a little over 13 years ago as I was entering the operating room at Southwest Memorial Hospital off 59. Erica was going to be giving birth to our twin daughters. It was on that night that I would first become a father. I don't know if you can see it, but there are four tiny little footprints on this mantle. They're a bit faded these days because time has changed some things. I think I have a picture. Oh yeah, there it is. That's me and my mantle. In a moment like this, there are a lot of things that go through a father's mind. I don't really remember exactly what I was thinking 13 years ago. I know generally that I was very aware that I was about to engage a role for which I was inadequately prepared. I needed a workshop or some training. And I didn't know if I was going to get it all right. In fact, I was certain that I wasn't. But you know what? There's another mantle who speaks. Did you know there's a speaking mantle? His name is Mickey Mantle. He was a well-known baseball slugger. Mickey Mantle was once asked, "How often do you try to hit a home run when you step into the batter's box?" To which Mickey Mantle replied, "100% of the time." And what he reminds me is that there's a difference between perfection and faithfulness. Perfection is hitting a home run every time you step into the box. Faithfulness is being willing to step up to the plate, knowing you might strike out. You might hit a home run. You might get it right. But there will be times when you don't say the right thing, you don't do the right thing. But you're going to take up the mantle regardless. I knew it was going to get messy and pretty dirty very quickly. In fact, that happens when you have these little kids. That's why you carry around these burp cloths and these wipies, because things get really messy. And when things get messy, when the rains come down, the floodwaters come up, and mud's everywhere, and it's just nasty, you know, you might be tempted just to take the first boat out of town. Many have. Many regret that decision. How did I know that I wouldn't do that? By the grace of God, keep me wearing the mantle. And I knew that I'd be having to make some sacrifices to my life. I couldn't live for myself anymore. There was too much at stake. I had too much power now that I was a father. Did you know that as a father, you have in your possession a power that is unlike any other the world knows? That power was vested, it was given to you that day that child was born, when God poured out a portion of his spirit in that union and life came to be. God placed in that child's heart deeply the presence and the reality of Father. It's one of those things. A father will be buried in the heart of a child as long as that child lives. It's something you may be able to deny. One can say, my dad doesn't mean anything to me. And though you can deny it, you cannot escape it. That power is there. It's why on days like today, we acknowledge all of those who have lost their fathers. Those who can't sit by their dad on Father's Day, who can't this afternoon pick up the phone to say, "Thanks, Dad. I really would like to give you a tie. I'd give you a cape if I could." We acknowledge those who have lost their fathers because we know that though your father is not here, his influence, his significance, his words stay with you, and they affect your life in deep, deep ways as long as we live. Isn't that true? Our fathers are deep within our hearts. It's funny, what's funny about that is it doesn't really matter what kind of father you have. Every kind of father carries with them this immense amount of influence. Some of you may have had a father that was kind of like Nemo's father. Classic helicopter parent. Always hovering about, never letting Nemo out of his sight, always worried about Nemo's safety. Others of you may have had a dad like Simba's dad. A kind of hero. A revered figure in his community with immense power. Others of you may have had a dad more like Bambi's dad. You kind of know he exists, but he's far away, seldom seen, distant and aloof. And it doesn't matter what kind of dad we had, because our dad's deep within our heart, and it doesn't change the level of significance that our fathers have for us. The question, dads, for those of you who are fathers, is what are you going to do with that amount of power? My working theory is that God has put into that father-child relationship that level of influence so that fathers may partner with him in his mission of seeking godly offspring. But we don't all use power very well. Some of us use our power to serve ourselves. Some of us abuse our power. I wonder, kids, what if today you went home and your mom or your dad said, "Today you have all power and authority in our house. Whatever you say goes. You have complete power and authority in this house. What are you going to do today? What are the first three things you would do? You have the checkbook, the credit cards. You've got the family calendar. Wherever you want to go, let's go. You're going to the store. You get to fill up the shopping cart. Which sibling are you going to take care of first? All power and authority belong to you. What are you going to do with all that power? It's an appropriate question because anytime we talk about being on mission, we're partnering with God in his mission. One of the first things we engage is this question of authority and power. When it comes to mission and partnering with God and his mission in seeking godly offspring, a Christian father understands that he lives and breathes and works under a higher authority. You may recall in Matthew 28, when Jesus commissioned the disciples, he said, "All authority in heaven has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." That as a father, we work and we go to our backyards under the authority of Christ. In fact, it's the great invitation to all to come and receive from Christ his spirit, to be clothed with his mantle, a mantle of power that enables this crazy mission called fatherhood. And when we receive that power, we live with that kind of authority in his name, then we hear the commission to go and make disciples of all your children, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What did Jesus do with all that power and all that authority? Well, let's find out. John 13. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, Jesus knew that God had put all things under his power. So what did he do? What would you do if God put all things, if God put a life under your power? So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that had been wrapped around him. Knowing that he had all power and authority, Christ took up the towel to serve his children, his disciples. And now we know why that father's towel was so worn out. Because he had been faithful over the years with the power that God had placed in his life that moment he became a father. He didn't live to gratify the cravings of his own flesh. He didn't live to abuse the people around him, but he took that power, that authority, and he took the nature of a servant to care for, to nurture, to wipe his children over the years. And in so doing, he wore out his towel. Christ has given the mantle to fathers, and that mantle, well, doesn't look anything like a hospital gown or a cape, but it looks a lot like a towel. And in so doing, Christ has shown all fathers how power is to be used when you join him on mission. The Malachi text is a challenging text because it hits to the heart of some of the more challenging things. It calls all the fathers of the faith community to engage faithfully the covenant relationship that they have with their children. And it doesn't mince words, and it's clear. If you neglect this mission, you're throwing your relationship with God and your children on the poker table, and you're risking it all. The wonderful thing about Malachi is the message of hope that it leaves. For it calls all fathers to return, for any who have wandered away to come and receive the grace and the mercy that is always available at the feet of God. And it's a challenge and an encouragement, and it is wind in the sails for all those fathers who are faithfully serving their families. And this morning, we do leave with that word of thanks and gratitude on our hearts. I wonder if you could think back and remember all the self-sacrificial things your father did for you or your family. Can you remember them all? Could you make a list? And how long would that list be? Because throughout the generations and throughout the world, there are fathers who have picked up the mantle of Christ and are faithfully serving their families in order that they may come to know God and be known by God, that they would be godly offspring and in their service know something about who God is. And so to all the fathers here, an encouragement to press on. To press on in the grace of God who empowers his mission and gives everything that is needed for every day. You don't have it in you to do this, but God will give it if we ask. And so we pray and we beseech the Lord that he would continue to empower his mission in every home, in our community, and in our world, and our societies, that fathers would take up the mantle, continuing the mission that Christ began. Would you join me in that prayer? Well, would you bow with me as I offer that prayer to God? Let's bow together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. for the truth that your word speaks into our hearts and our lives. We even thank you for the convictions that you have surfaced within us today. I lift up today all of our fathers, those who are faithfully, to the best of their ability, with all of their strength, stepping into the batter's box, risking failure to join you in your mission of seeking godly offspring. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that is ours when we come to the cross, that forgiveness is always there and that restoration is possible. And Father, we lift up on this Father's Day all of our children, that they may all come to know you as the good Father that you are, because we know that you're seeking their hearts and that their lives are precious in your sight, all the children of the world. We lift them up to you that they would come to know you and be known by you, to lift up your holy name, to grow up to be covenant keepers, people that would honor you, faithfully receiving your mercy and your grace. May you bless this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.